Good evening. Happy New Year. Okay. This evening, I'd like to talk about growing in your faith. But before I get to that, I know that we spent considerable time last year talking about the theme of transformation, right? And we're going to move the theme by Sunday, but we don't walk away from transformation. That is something you do for the rest of your life. Amen? And if you remember the things we're trying to build as a congregation, it's about five things. You remember? We're building what? Safe. Care. Growth. Safety. Nobody's helping me out. Authenticity. Yeah, that comes to five, right? So we're still working on that. I hope you don't bury that. Does that make sense? That is a growth process we do and keep going at it. But this year we want to spend a little bit of time trying to get us to understand where you plug your energies from. Does that make sense? Getting in the vine and just really sticking to that. And we'll talk about that some more on Sunday. But today I want to talk about growing in your faith. This does not just happen because you've been around. It doesn't just happen. Just because you love God, it doesn't just happen. Just because you read the Bible, it does not just happen. Make sense? First, we form habits, then they form us. And when I say that, I want to talk about, I'd like us to interrogate our routine, your day-to-day routine. What does it support? How did it come about in your life? Is it an accident? Is it something that you carry because it supports your outside life? Is it geared towards building a character that's a daily battle and forming God and faith in you? Because routines come about for different reasons. Sometimes we come about with routines for survival, just to survive the day. So I have a routine for the day to survive. I wake up and I get busy and I feel fine. My conscience feels okay. You don't want to do that kind of living. You've got to go deep and ask yourself, why do I carry this routine? Because those habits, whether you know them, whether you admit that to yourself or not, you're forming habits. And some of those habits are destroying. So you have to begin to interrogate, why do I wake up when I wake up? Why do you sleep when you sleep? I know you may say I'm tired, but that's bigger than being tired. Why do you read your Bible when you read it? This is all about faith issues. I'm asking this question so that you can begin to interrogate your habits and how you operate. Is it a survival thing? Is it something you do because you're trying just to carry through life? Or are you trying to grow? And character is a daily battle. It's not something you can set on stone and say it's done. A schedule needs to reflect a desire to develop a faith, to develop character, to grow. It's a daily thing. To live a conscious life is harder than you think sometimes. It's easier to be automated, to just wake up and pick your phone the next thing. And you say, why do you pick your phone? I was looking at the time. There are many ways of figuring out time. But that time takes another 10 minutes on the phone. Who, what's up, what happened? You look at the Facebook and everything else comes. And before you know it, you go to the bathroom to brush teeth and you're there looking at your face for a while. Before you know it, half an hour is gone and nothing was accomplished of any meaning in terms of moving your faith and character anywhere. It was just activity. Coffee here, something there, but nothing really happened beyond that. So if you're not intentional, there's a lot of wastage. And over time, you give up, you give in, and you have a lifestyle that does not bring about a growth of faith. And you wonder what happened. You got to be intentional. So let's look at this. Habit of prayer. Where's that there first? Mark 1, 34-35, so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons, but because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Quite busy. And then the next day he wakes up very early to a quiet place to pray. Now, we can learn some principles from here. Think about it. Why would you want to be up in the morning? It's quiet. Science says that your brain really picks up a lot of stuff around that time. Now, it just says early in the morning. I'm not going to tell you what time. Okay? Early in the morning. I'll let you figure that out. Because early for some of you is 4, for some of us is 7. I don't know. Yeah. But there's a principle. It was early in the morning, amen? So I won't play with time, but I want to ask yourself, so do you take time to wake up and pray? He wanted to connect with God. It was a busy life. And I would add that what is prayer for you? Is prayer a regurgitation of certain words? Is it the same every day? Or rearranged but the same? Rearranged words but the same. Over time, it's dull, it's empty, it doesn't make you feel like, well, I connected with God. So the question then comes to that is, Jesus is trying to pray very early in the morning, but I'm going a little bit further and talking about prayer and saying, you want to have a meaningful prayer, you've got to connect in an authentic way with God. You got to tell him what's on your heart. Don't rearrange the words. Now, I know some of us go through the acts and say, okay, I adored and I confessed and I thanked and all that. But how real is all that? Can we get real with what's going on? When you start doing that, growth starts happening. Because you're telling God what's really going on. And you're no longer playing a prayer man or a prayer woman. You're actually being real. And if you want to understand the reality of prayer, read the Psalms and you see how he wrestles with it. The Psalms are amazing how authentic it can be and how raw that conversation was. We've got to get there. But Jesus took time and he was so busy and he said, I got to pray in the morning. The principle is start the day with God. Amen. That's the principle. Start the day with God. If you want to have a habit that gets you growing, start the day with God. Sometimes we don't start the day with God. We start the day with just activity, and then a crisis comes, and then we say, I need to pray. You should have prayed before the crisis came. So that you're ready. So, habit of prayer. So, I want to ask a question. Do you pray? And when you do, do you go to a nice, a quiet place to pray? You can go to a different place from the room you are. Because if you pray in your same place, you might sleep, you know. Just because it's a warm place, you may sleep there. So you may want to move around a little bit. Does that make sense? Whether you kneel down, sit on a chair, prostrate, whatever, just pray. Amen? But the principle is start the day with prayer. If you don't do that, you're not being intentional about God helping you during the day and what you're trying to accomplish during the day. So you find that you live in a crisis mode. You're in a crisis mode and you only pray because there's pressure. You don't pray because you need God. You don't pray because you understand. Rather, you pray because of pressure. You need to pray because you understand that you can't function without God. That's a different place. There's a desire to be with God. It's a habit. And that habit then stops you from rearranging the words and becoming real in prayer. Make sense? So let's get in the habit of prayer every morning. Not rearranging words, getting real with God. Early in the morning, talking about it. It's amazing what you can accomplish when you start like that. But if you start the day without a prayer and no plan, it'll be 10 o'clock and you did nothing of substance. Like, what happened? Well, there's no intention. Second, habit of being in the Word. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You know, you've read this chapter many times, no excuse, and they've heard the word of God and all that. But the key thing is, consequently, you and I cannot develop faith if we're not reading the Bible. In other words, you cannot develop faith by osmosis, just sitting around in here. Somehow you develop faith. It doesn't happen. Let's talk about this for a while. You know, reading the Bible, why do you read? You may read because I'm a Christian. Well, we'll let you pass, but we want to go further than that. I read because my conscience gets to me if I don't read. I feel empty and all that. But God is talking to you. Reading the Bible is God talking to you. So the natural question is, what are you reading? You don't want to read the Bible just for the sake of reading. You got to ask yourself, what do I want to hear from God this month, today, this week? As in, what do you feel you need to hear from God? You have to interrogate that question for yourself. What are you reading? I'm not going to question whether it's Numbers, it's Revelation, but why are you there? Why are you in that space? How is God speaking to you? What does it spark in you that develops your faith, that changes your character, that makes you say, you know what, I can trust God in this as I understand it? You have to understand that if you just do it for the sake of ticking, really it's stale. And after a while you feel like a hypocrite. But when you really connect into that reality, it's amazing how inside you feel so warm, so directed, so inspired. Your countenance changes around people. You're joyful. You're not miserable at all, even though the problems are the same. Why? Because the power of God begins to come alive in you. The Spirit begins to be stirred. It's different. So it's important to ask yourself, what are you reading? And to come up with a plan. There are one-year Bibles. They're great. There are the devotionals. They're great. There are many plans. But what's important is, are you connecting to what you're reading? Yeah. It's not healthy to read and not connect. You will not develop faith like that. That's like taking medicine because you're just sick. Just take it. That's different. But when you understand what it does for you, you'll be eager to do it properly. Does that make sense? So we got to get in the habit of reading. So then I say this to us. Sometimes I'm reading multiple things, you know. And sometimes, yes, I'm reading in the morning. But whenever somebody doesn't come on time, I start reading. Maybe I'm waiting for someone, then they're late. I start reading. So hearing from God is not limited to morning only. There are many ways you can do that. Does that make sense? You can keep that going and have a scripture that you stick with and stuff like that. What I'm trying to say that we got to stop this morning Christian approach where you just read and pray, but during the day you're really running on your own mind. You want to be connected to God the whole day, and you think about stuff and how that guides you, the scripture guides you, your prayer guides you. Yes, you're walking, but you're walking from a perspective of God. Yes, you're driving, but you're driving from a perspective of God. You sense God in your life. Does that make sense? You're less angry, stressed out when you're that way. When you're not that way, you're easily triggered. You're easily triggered. So let's get in the scriptures. Then our faith will start jumping. Amen? You see, this is something we have to begin to interrogate for ourselves and ask yourself, how do you feel about your relationship with God, and walk through that? Does that make sense? Where you need help, ask. But pray about it and God will show you what you need to do. Another habit of finding God's purpose. You need to understand that you're created for a purpose. But every day brings that to you. And sometimes we are afraid to ask that question. What is my purpose on earth? It's a scary question, proposition. The first time I asked that question, I was 16 and then 22. That was a very scary question. And I wanted to ask, I was saying, God, what do you want me to do? When I was asked to go into ministry, that wasn't the answer I was looking for. I said, no, not that one. I need another one. Sometimes the reason life is not making a lot of sense is because we're not connecting to our purpose with God, and there's no fulfillment. It's not a daily thing. You follow that? So just running around. But let's read here. 1 Corinthians 10:11-13. These things happen to them as an example for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. When challenges come, God is always trying to show you a way out. But to show that way out, you have to connect with His purpose. You follow that? If you're not connecting to God's purpose and what you're going through, you'll never see the way out. You'll always give in. Temptations come, you give in. But God wants you to find His purpose, and that's through the challenges we go through. And you have to say, what is God's way out of this? He says, everything written in the scriptures is to teach us. It's an example on how to stand up, on how to deal with things. And then He'll show you a way out. It's not always that straightforward, though, is it? It's not as though I'm going to find out tomorrow. You have to connect to God to figure that out. It has to be personal. I mean, I've been tempted sometimes. I remember one time being so tempted with resentment and feeling like anyone in my position should feel resentment. I started justifying it. You don't understand. You've never been there. Then I met another guy who said, I was there. I've been through exactly the same thing. And he was very happy. And I wasn't happy. I was miserable and resentful. Now, you couldn't tell if you didn't know me, but I was resentful down. I looked like I was okay, but deep down I was resentful. My point is, if you think you're in a tough place, you haven't checked with God yet. He'll show you how to get out of that place. But that takes to find God's purpose, takes you to connect. So God, how do I come out of this? How do I come out of this in a godly way? That's different from I give up. That's different from I don't want to try. If you're God, make it happen. That is, I want to be a part of this process and change and find your purpose and get me to be different. It brings fulfillment as you struggle and become a different person. You don't get fulfillment when you give up. You don't get fulfillment when you just say, I can't do this. You really can, but when you connect to God, fulfillment comes. It's that develops our faith. Our character, and we begin to change. When you really think about it, every temptation you face, God knows you can overcome. He knows that. And each time you fail, you retake it again. But you're going to pass if you trust Him. It comes down to having faith in God to say, I can overcome this. Now, it's not always easy, but with God, you can change that. And that's part of growth. For you to be different, you have to come to God in a different way. You can't keep doing what you did in 2016 and hope to come to a new place. There must be a different you coming around as you focus on God. But it's a habit. That whenever you're tempted, say, God, what is your way out of this? How do we handle this? And sometimes anxiety is coming, but I gotta pray. Pressure is coming, but I have to pray. How will you overcome whatever God will put your way in 2017? You've got to be intentional about God. Show me how. You got to pray, right? And wait on God. This is a habit. So whenever you have challenges, you don't go back to your natural self. You say, God, show me your way. Habit of submitting to God. Let's talk about this. Sometimes we think we submit to God because it's working out like we wanted it to be. And that may be a micromanagement you're doing on your own. You're micromanaging things so that they can work out the way you want them to be. Then you think, God really worked out the way it was supposed to be. But meanwhile, you're working overtime just to control stuff. You didn't give it over to God. Then you get addicted to this state of control. So you never know how to get out of the way and let God do it. Church, I think the biggest addiction we carry as human beings is controlling. Yet God promises to submit to me. And I work these things out. It's amazing when you give it over to God. But it's not that easy because we're so used to controlling, submitting to God. But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. It's not performance. It's by his grace that he gives us ability to stand up against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. Whenever we think we are a gift to other people, or we know it all, we get into the prideful side. But when we realize it's by the grace of God we exist, and that we exist to glorify him, and we must begin to grow ourselves, then humility comes to us very quickly. Because you begin to see yourself in ways if you take time to look at yourself and see how God has given you grace, it gives you a lot of humility. Because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And the more I look at it and I say, oh my goodness, God help me, because I don't seem to see some of these things. They come from my blind side. So this opposition is our pride is trying to take charge from God, and God says, let me do it. He says, let me do it. See, I had a friend in Kenya. His father was a lorry driver, so racing cars. But you know, the rally kind of cars is rough roads. And he said, I was trying to go home and said, okay, I wanted to go see my mom. He says, I can take you there. And for some reason, I wanted to come back the same day. And I thought, yeah, this is the right guy to take a ride with. He says, okay, yeah, we can leave at 5. And 5 in the morning, I got in his car. Oh my goodness. He's from a racing family. His name is Dan Shuker. He was driving and giving me a good story. That's about, at some point he's doing like 90 miles and talking with me with one hand. I'm like, are we going to come out of this car life? He's so comfortable. I'm so scared. I'm thinking, and for some, we kept going. At some point we're going down the hill, we started having a flat tire. Boy, was I so glad that we stopped. And then we got into a city where there was so much traffic. It was so slow. I began to feel impatient. Why can't we get out of this city quickly? And I thought to myself, that's just me and God. When God is too fast, I'm scared. When he's too slow, how long, God? That's what he was doing to me. I mean, I was glad to get home and not come back with him. But I'm like, whoa, that's way too fast to be in that car. And God does that with us. Sometimes it's way too fast for your liking. Sure. Sometimes way too slow for your liking. The answer is submit to God. Then you'd be happy. So then we spend our life in perpetual war with God. Because when it's too fast, come on, God, we slow down. Too slow, come on, speed up. When are you going to be happy? So you don't know how to say, God, let's enjoy it. What are you trying to do right now? See, after that, I figured, I'm not taking a ride with this guy. I got to be careful. But with God, you have to submit. Say, God, show me what you're trying to do. Right. It's possible that the reason you're not enjoying your walk with God is you never submit to where you are right now. You're not enjoying and seeing what is God's doing in your life right now. You're here, but you wish you were there. Then you get there, you wish you were there. You know the mirage on the road on a summer day? You keep trying to get there, and you get there, you keep wanting to get farther down. You never say, this is a good place to be. What are you trying to do, God, right here? The habit of submitting to God. Come close to God. Then you begin to enjoy being what's going on right now, figuring it out. And God will come close to you. Wash your hands. You see, this purify your hearts. It's a heart issue. For your loyalty is divided. Stop the division in your heart and be loyal to God and submit. It's a loyalty issue. We have divided loyalties. We have divided, our loyalties are here, one loyalty there. So that divides us a lot. Give it all to God. Be at peace with God and you see what He does. And if you're at peace with God, don't compare with your neighbor. It'll come in God's time, it'll come together. Habit of endurance. Let's talk about this. If you like to go to the gym, I'm sure you come through this sometimes. Endurance and stuff, and they get you to do all that stuff. Okay, let's see if you can survive for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Yeah. And yeah, the lactic acid builds in your joints, and it's very painful sometimes, but you have to keep going. And sometimes when I'm on the bike and that's happening to me, I start asking questions like, why am I doing this? It's for me. Why should I have to do it for 5 minutes? I start rationalizing why I should not do it. Yeah. Start playing it in my head. And I'm trying to get out of the exercise. No, I think I can. No, my body can't do that. So you start telling yourself these stories to get out of it. You don't want to stick with what God is trying to do. So we do that with ourselves, with God. We try to get ourselves out of God's training. But God wants you to endure. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Wow. That, what an opportunity. Now, the other days, I couldn't understand that. How can God expect me to take this as an opportunity? It's painful. I don't like it. I hate the idea. But God says it's an opportunity. Sometimes, though, many years later, I've looked back and I said, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. But I'll be honest with you, when it was happening, I was upset and angry. And I had to ask for forgiveness from God. I said, God, I didn't go through that well. Help me to do a better job. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Wow. That when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. This process of growth takes endurance. And for endurance to happen, there must be a challenge. The way I know I deal with things, if it takes too long, I want to just to shut it out and say, maybe it's not God's will. But I realize that if you pray about something and wait on God, God will do what, He'll make it clear for you. He will make it clear. Now, some things, the habit of, for us to grow in our faith, we have, if it's a character thing, you have to endure change. Does that make sense? If it's a character thing, you have to endure how changing the way you think. That's different. If you don't do that, it'll not change. It's impossible to go to the next level in an exercise, in character, in anything, if you do not endure something. You stay the same. And yet it says, so let it grow. It's your choice. It's a choice you make. God is not trying to force it on you. It's a choice you make. You know, I want to grow in this area and I'll do it like this. Does that make sense? Maybe you need to grow in just not answering quickly. So you have to start saying, from now on, when somebody says something, I'll count 1, 2, 3 before I say anything. Because I may say something, now it's just dangerous. And as you grow in that character, you realize, oh, I answer better when I do that. Or maybe I just react.
I want to be prayerful and godly. How does that come by?
All that is character growth. You have to endure, change, and ask those questions. What's going on in my heart? Then you develop, you grow. Consider it as an opportunity of growth. The idea that because I'm a Christian, I should not struggle is a lie from the devil. In Luke 4, I believe, if you read about the temptations, and it talks about it, the Bible says Jesus was tempted and was left until an opportune time. You'll be tested. The only way you avoid temptation is when you're trying to live like the devil wants you to live like. But if you're being righteous, temptation is on your way. I hope that was not a disappointment, but an information. It's coming. You will be tempted. But you're tempted to grow, not to fail. Don't feel sorry for yourself when tempted. Say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to grow in this area. Every next level of your life will demand a different you. Church, I think that 2017, God wants to do great things with all of us. But it demands a different you. At home, at work, privately, as a person, as you touch different people, it demands a different you. That different you requires that you interrogate yourself and ask yourself, where do I start? I gave you a few habits. Look at those habits and see how you can start developing your faith. A walk with God needs to be meaningful and purposeful. It takes time. It's not a quick fix. It's not a one tablet fix everything. This is a walk with God. We do it until we go to heaven. Amen? But we can have fun. We can enjoy it. We can have a great time together. And we can be safe for one another. Care for one another. Help each other. It's not going great. Be authentic and grow together. Amen? God bless you.